you don't have to have an actual experience of something to be certain about it. You're saying, wait a second, Tony, you just got done telling me a belief is nothing but a feeling of certainty. How can I feel certain if I've never done it? Well, guess what? There's a thing called faith. There's a thing called hope. These are things we create inside ourselves. You go, what about those legs you talked about? If I don't have the experience of doing something, how can I be certain? How are you certain of anything before you did it? Many times, one of the ways you became certain is you didn't have personal references, but you saw other people had done it. And seeing other people succeed gave you legs to put under your own tabletop that made you certain, hey, if they can do it, so can I. How else can we get certain? We get certain by our imagination. Oftentimes, we get certain we can't do something by our imagination. We imagine that we're going to fail, and we think about it in enough detail that our imagination becomes a reference. Remember, our brain can't tell the difference between something we vividly imagine and something we actually experience. So if you keep picturing and thinking about and vividly imagining how you're always going to be overweight or how you'll try this and fail, pretty soon you're creating legs under that belief and you'll feel certain you're going to fail, even if it isn't true. I mean, it's like the guy goes out to play golf and he's thinking to himself, oh, I can never make this putt. I can never make it. Sure enough, he misses the putt. He goes, see, I knew I wasn't going to make it. No kidding. You programmed yourself. You created certainty for failure. We got to create certainty for success. So how are you going to do it? One, just look around you. There are people from every walk of life, people who their whole life struggled their weight, where nothing worked, who finally figured out how to make the change and made it last. You're going to watch on your videotape, by the way, some examples of people just like that. So you'll have their experience. The other thing you have, if you've worked with us in any other context, is you know the potency of the technology we're offering. You've already made changes in other areas of your life that last. Now it's a chance to apply it to this thing called weight loss. And of course, the most important thing that'll drive you is your ability just to sit down and create a vision of how you want to be and each day to live it in your mind. That simple visualization, or if you don't think you make pictures, that simple sense of feeling what you're going to feel like when you've achieved your goals, when you are living in the body that you deserve, that's what'll give you the drive. That's what'll give you the power. It's often been said that without a vision, people perish because the vision provides the legs, the certainty, the faith, the drive to allow you to tap into your ability. You know, Martin Seligman from the University of Pennsylvania did an intensive set of research projects on the potency of optimism in shaping our behaviors and the quality of our lives. And what he found was really interesting. He did a series of research projects where he put people through a series of tasks. Some of these people were considered to be extremely pessimistic, others extremely optimistic. He was looking for extremes. What he found was, after asking them to do identical tasks, that the people that were optimistic were always inaccurate in rating their own performance. They always saw their performance as better than it actually was. The people that were pessimistic always were more accurate. They saw that they'd not done as well. Now you might say, well, see, those dumb optimists, they get all pumped up, they get all excited about things, but they're not realistic. Thank God. You know what the research project found? Because they thought their performance was better than it actually was, they were encouraged to attempt again to become even better. Whereas the pessimists reported their behavior accurately, they also had no drive to attempt doing anything better in the future because they could rationally see how poorly they had performed. My point is very simple. You must have a sense of vision and hope, and you are the source of it. It starts by just making a decision that says, I am going to create a sense of certainty that no matter what's happened in my past, the past does not equal the future, and today I'm going to make changes. I am somebody different today. I have more determination today, and I tell you something else you have. You got a coach, and myself, and Nate, and you're going to have a strategy that you've never used before that's going to incorporate more than mere willpower and inspiration, but an understanding of biochemistry, an understanding of physiology, and an understanding of emotional conditioning that'll give you the habits to help you make the change. But you've got to start. It starts with you. We can't do it for you. It starts with you deciding to create that certainty right now in your body. Let's try an experiment right now and show you how quickly you can do this. If you're sitting in your car, then obviously don't close your eyes when I go through this process. Just imagine it while you're driving in the car. You can do everything I'm going to say about standing, you can do sitting. Now, what I want you to do is I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to imagine hoping that you will lose some weight here. You know, I hope so. I hope I can lose my weight. I hope I can do it. Hope I can turn around. I hope. Hope I can make it happen. Hope I don't get disappointed again. I hope so. And just in your body, imagine what it feels like and just feel your body imagining you hope it'll work out. Hope you don't screw up again. Hope it'll finally happen for you. Breathe the way you breathe when you hope. Use your body the way you do when you hope. You know, picture what you picture when you hope it'll work out. Hope it works out. Hope it doesn't get messed up. Notice how this feels. Notice what you picture in your mind. Notice what you say to yourself when you hope it'll work out. Now, get out of that state. And with your eyes still closed, I want you in your body right now to create a sense of certainty that you can turn things around. Absolute certainty. Stand the way you'd be standing if you knew you were not only going to lose the weight, but you were going to have the body you deserve for the rest of your life. If you felt certain, if you expected it, you had a sense of total positive expectancy about this. You absolutely knew it. You knew you were different because you had a new level of commitment. There was absolute certainty of the right tools, the right strategy, where there was no question in your mind whatsoever. You are absolutely certain. Stand the way you stand when you're certain. Breathe the way you breathe when you're certain. Picture what you do if you knew that there was no question this is who you were becoming now. And notice how that feels. Notice the difference in your body, the difference in your breathing, the difference in what you're picturing in your mind. Feel it. Then go back to hoping again. Go ahead. Let your body do what it does, and you just hope it'll work out. I hope so. Hope it works out. Hope I can lose the weight. Hope. Then go back to expecting. Come on. I know it seems silly. Right now, stand tall. Stand strong like you do when you're absolutely certain. Breathe with certainty. Feel it. Will you expect it? Will you know it? With that feeling of intensity now, notice how you feel. With that kind of belief, do you think you get yourself to be more active? Now, relax. Let me ask you a question. You can sit back down if you'd like. And if you didn't do this, get up right now, rewind the tape, and go through this, because I want you to experience in your body, not just intellectually, so you'll know the difference. Because you and I have the ability to create certainty in a moment, even if we haven't been certain for years. Because certainty is nothing but a physiology, a set of sensations that we create, nobody else. We usually have to have a bunch of things happen before we allow ourselves to feel certain, but we can do it in a moment. Now, here's my question for you. What was the difference in your body when you were certain versus uncertain, when you were hoping versus when you were expecting? Now, whenever I ask this of people in live seminars, invariably they'll tell me things like, well, gosh, I don't know, when I was hoping, I almost felt depressed, or when I was hoping, I felt like passive, and when I was expecting, I felt solid, I felt certain, I felt balanced, I felt active, I felt like doing something. Does that match up with your experience at all? Or often people will tell me, well, when I was hoping, I was seeing two images. I saw it working out, but I also thought about what it would be like if it didn't work. And when I knew it, when I was certain, when I was expecting, I only focused completely on seeing it the way I wanted it. There was no other image in my mind. See, you have the power to make this change in a moment's notice. And I got to tell you something. If you look at that list that you wrote down of empowering and disempowering beliefs, I promise you, if right now you were to stop and write down a list of empowering beliefs, but you first put yourself in a state of mind of certainty that you knew you could succeed, you will find you're able to expand that list. In fact, let's do it right now. Just take 1 minute. And just right now, turn up the tape and put yourself in that state of certainty where you know you're going to succeed. There is no question in your mind. Whatever it takes, make a gesture with your body, clap your hands, get strong, get intense. And as you do it, I want you to write down all the additional empowering beliefs about why you absolutely know you're going to succeed this time where you never have before. Go for it now. Great. Welcome back. Now, my next question is, if you got all these empowering beliefs, let's take a look at those disempowering beliefs and let's get rid of them. How do you do that? Well, think about this. Have you ever doubted yourself before? Have you ever done it? I know I have. How do you create doubt? Simple. Ask lousy questions. That's all it takes. See, if you start saying to yourself, well, God, what if I screw up this time? Or what if I forget my lines? Or what if they don't like me? Or what if, you know, I don't follow through? What if? What if is a great question for taking and sweeping the legs out from almost any belief. See, the only reason you believe in something is because you no longer question it. Think about it. You question anything, the minute you question it, and you're willing to actually think about it and question whether something's gonna work out or not, you're no longer certain. If you don't question it, if you just accept something and say, this is it, I just know, and you don't question it, that's a belief. So a belief only exists because you no longer question it. So what you wanna do now is take those limiting beliefs of yours and ask yourself some questions. Read that list and say, what's ridiculous about this belief? Is this the belief that a person who's successful would allow themselves to indulge in? Would they consistently apply this to their life? How could this belief destroy the quality of my life if I allowed myself to indulge in it? If you ask a few of these questions about the belief sitting in front of you and write down the answers, I can promise you, you can take those legs out and shake them real loose and you'll no longer believe them. And in their place, think of the new empowering belief. What would be the alternative? What would be the antithesis of the old belief? Just realize, what we've talked about so far in this program is we've talked about that this sense of certainty is a requirement for us to take committed action. Whenever we have mixed emotions, whenever we have a lack of certainty, we're not going to utilize all of our ability. So avoid these myths. They're like poison to your brain, and adopt some antidotes, some empowering beliefs. How? By realizing the price you pay, the pain you're going to have if you don't eliminate these limiting beliefs. You know, years ago when I started studying how human beings condition themselves, I began to study a little bit about also how animals become conditioned, how animals get trained, for example, in circuses. A classic example can be found in understanding how elephants are trained, because when elephants are very, very young, they're not very strong. And so it's very easy to condition them to develop a sense of certainty that they can't break themselves loose. They're not that strong physically. They tie a big chain around them. They drive a big, deep stake into the ground. And that little tiny elephant will struggle and push and pull for hours, sometimes for days. After a period of time, the elephant develops a sense of certainty, a belief, if you will, that there's a limit to what it can do once that stake is driven into the ground. And the limit is very, very clear. And you know what? Once that conditioning is done, once the elephant adopts that limiting belief structure, you might say, well, how do elephants believe? Well, elephants have a sense of certainty about things. Once the elephant believes it has these limits, all the elephant trainer's got to do, even though the elephant might be a full-size elephant that could pull the entire tent down, all he's got to do is put a same size chain and a little tiny stake in the ground. The elephant doesn't try to break loose. He doesn't try to escape. He just stays in his little comfort zone that he's been trained by the environment to have. And you know what? We've all been elephants in some area of our life at one time. Is it possible you've been trained like the elephant, that there's a limit to how good you can look, to how good you can feel, to how vital and alive you can be? You know what? It's all a lie. Stay away from this concept of learned helplessness. Break through and make sure that the other belief you avoid is one that your problem is pervasive. It is not a permanent problem, and it is not pervasive. Your excess weight does not destroy everything in your life, as it may look. Once you get into this state where problems are permanent and pervasive, you then eventually drop into the point where you start thinking the problem is personal. There's something wrong with you personally. When you adopt these three beliefs, you have no desire to even attempt change. And all I can tell you is you can break through all these beliefs merely by questioning them, saying, is this really permanent? Have other people broken through this? Have I ever made any progress at all? If my whole life was on the line, could I find a way? By changing your body and getting in a state of certainty, you can make this change. By looking at your life and saying, hey, how many other areas of my life have I taken control of? Is there any area of my life that I've really mastered that used to be difficult? And if you're honest with yourself, and if you put yourself in a state of certainty, you will see your limiting beliefs have no more power to control you than that little tiny stake in the ground has to limit the elephant. Break through. Right now, today, make a decision that says no matter what's happened in the past, you're going to create a brand new present and future. And in order to take you on to the next steps, let me turn you over to Dr. Nate Booth. Make sure that as you apply what we've talked about today, and as you go to the next step, you don't just take action. You don't just say, oh man, I got to make this happen, but you enjoy the process. Make sure you do that, because every person I've ever known who successfully turned their weight around permanently and really developed the body they deserve has been a person who's not just gone for some goal they're trying to achieve this week or this month, but they're a person who's learned to love the process. The process of being vital, a process of learning new things about how you eat and how you live and how to get stronger. A person who commits to the discipline of kanai, of constant and never-ending improvement, where each day they look for some tiny improvement they can make in their life. So today, as you apply what you've learned, don't just apply it, enjoy it. So here's Nate Booth, and until I visit with you again tomorrow, remember to live with passion.
Today, Tony spent a lot of time talking about the unlimited power of your beliefs. Your beliefs about yourself, your beliefs about what you're capable of. And your beliefs are an extremely important part of the process of creating that body you deserve. In the 10 years that I've been working with people, helping them control their weight, there are 10 characteristics that I find over and over again in these people that lead to their success. Remember that success leaves clues. If you want to duplicate the results that anyone has achieved, you want to literally pick their brain. You want to find out their beliefs, their values, and their strategies. And these are the 10 characteristics that I found on people who have enjoyably lost the fat off their bodies and kept it off over a period of time. Here's characteristic number one. I've reached threshold. The pain of being over fat is too great. I must lose fat now. Not I would like to lose, or I should lose, or I might lose someday, but I must lose the fat now. I must lose means that I'm totally committed, no ifs, ands, or buts. Characteristic number two, I must do it. I take full responsibility for creating the body I deserve. I'm not relying on outside things such as pills and hypnosis and tricks. I realize that I'm responsible for my behavior, and I'm going to be responsible for making myself trim again. Characteristic number three, I can do it. I will do it. All successful fat losers feel like they have that kind of power over their lives. Your belief in your ability to be trim now is the number one predictor of your success. And what you'll find as you go through the program is that this belief will strengthen with every single day. The first three characteristics are, I must quit, I must do it, and I can do it. These are the three foundational characteristics that are responsible for all of success. In fact, what I'd like you to do right now is think of a time in your life when you achieved a real outstanding result, something that you really wanted to do. See if those three characteristics are there. I think you'll find that they definitely were, and these are the characteristics that are the foundation for all successful behavior change. Characteristic number four, the past does not equal the future. Tony talked about this one on a previous tape. It's extremely important because if you're like most overfat people, you've tried unsuccessfully to lose it in the past. If you think that the past does equal the future, you're stuck. You're in a rut. Remember, a rut is nothing more than a coffin with the ends kicked off. All people who are successful at losing fat realize that it's different now. The past does not equal the future when it comes to being trim. Characteristic number five, I'm prepared. I have a plan of attack. I have a powerful strategy. Having a specific strategy like the one you'll learn in this program will dramatically increase your chances of being successful. And remember, the strategies in this program will be the best ones you've ever used. Let's move on to characteristic number six. Becoming trim is not a problem, it's a challenge. In fact, for a second now, think how it feels in your body when you're experiencing a problem. How does it feel? And how do you feel like attacking that problem? Now for a second, imagine that you have a challenge. Notice how a challenge feels in your body. Can you tell any difference between the problem and the challenge? If you're like most people, you'll look in anticipation towards that challenge. When you have a challenge in your life, you'll look forward to overcoming it. That's what creating a light and healthy body is, a challenge. And this program will help you enjoyably meet that challenge and create that body you deserve and desire. Here's characteristic number seven. I realize that I am not my behavior. Sure, I used to overeat and undermove, but that's not the real me. I'm a human being, not a human doing. Trim people don't beat themselves up because they were once over fat. They realize that they were a person that used to do these things, but not now. They believe that that was just a stage that they were going through in their life, and now they're moving on to a higher level in their life, a stage in their life that was just preparing them to meet the challenge they're facing now. Rolling along to characteristic number eight, I concentrate my power on my challenges. This program is going to require some time and enjoyable effort on your part. When you focus your time and effort on one outcome, you concentrate your power. Concentrated power leads to focused action, which leads to positive results. For the next 12 days, make creating the body you deserve your main area of focus. When you do that, you'll muster the resources that will help you create the outcome that you deserve. Let's move on to the next to the last characteristic, which is characteristic number nine. I have realistic goals. The successes in the Battle of the Bulge have realistic goals in terms of the weight they want to attain and the speed at which they're going to attain it. There's only about 5% of the population that has the genetic potential to end up looking like those models on the covers of those supermarket checkout counter magazines. If you're one of those people, fine and dandy. If you're like the rest of us, have a realistic expectation of what you can achieve and the rate at which you can achieve it. And finally, the last characteristic, and maybe the most important one, I'm going to enjoy the process of creating a light and healthy body. Many people believe that being trim has to be a knockdown, drag-out battle. This is absolutely not true. Becoming trim is too important to be treated seriously. Have some fun along the way. Relax and smell the flowers. You'll actually be able to see the flowers by your feet in a few weeks. Just kidding there. Now, here are three things that you can enjoyably do in the next 24 hours. Number one is, in your diary again, write down everything that you eat and drink in the next 24 hours. Number two, move 2 minutes more than you did yesterday. So now we're up to about 17 minutes. Again, light, easy, no sweat movement, just 2 minutes more than you did yesterday. Number three, read that day two section in your workbook. Complete the exercises that are under the practical application section, and it's very important that you go over that checklist and make sure that you're doing the appropriate things for day number two. Emerson said, "Do the thing and you will have the power." This is what the Body You Deserve program is all about, regaining power in this one critical area of your life. For the next 24 hours, do the things trim people do. Then you will have the power to create the body you deserve and the life you desire. Until tomorrow, keep that momentum going.